I've entitled the message, Why We Work, because we're working hard this week. We've been pulling together all week, some of you off-site in prayer and giving. Some of you have been busy with entirely different things than Kids Club, and that's okay. You're allowed. But we're going to be pulling together all week, and it behooves us to think of why we work. We mentioned the witness blanket. So this is a visual representation, I understand, of the horrors of residential schools. Most, maybe all, I'm not sure, done in supposedly Christian organizations by people who name the name of Jesus. So it behooves us to think of why we work. Because when I heard some of those stories on the radio and read some of those stories in print, I was stunned and I thought, how? People that say they're Christian, how? Well, I tell you how is when we lose sight of why we work. I listened as I worked, as I painted some stuff for Kids Club, to Steve's sermon from last week, because we were away last week. It's online, Gabriola Fellowship Church, boom, you can stream it. If you missed it, it's a good one. Better than this one, it's a good one. Contemplating some basic things like what is faith and what is sin. And really, it fits hand in glove with what I want to share today and what I've been considering. This comes out of our first lesson of the week for Kids Club, which is about Noah, entitled Believe. And why do we work? Steve mentioned faith, this resting fully, trusting, this active belief. You've heard me call it expectant belief, because it's not a mental assent. It actually thinks something's going to come of this. And we illustrate that in various ways of committing. He talked about faith, and he talked about sin, and he said, quoted from Romans 14, whatever doesn't come from faith is sin. And he mentioned a definition of sin of falling short, right? Missing the mark. We think of Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short. The latter part of the verse is almost like an exposition on the first. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and aimed at something inferior and different than the enjoyment and demonstration of the excellence of God's person. Sometimes it's good to try to reframe these Bible terms to yourself. It's really what it is preaching to yourself. I really advocate, take what words you know, take a biblical concept, a word like faith, a verse you know, and re-preach it to yourself. Here's an example. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Might become something like, the inevitable emotional and psychological response to an encounter with the one who made you to enjoy him will sustain you through every trial and every act of service. Now that's, you could call it, be your own amplified Bible. Now, what I said might be just a lot too wordy for you, but you see what I mean? I'm rephrasing. We need to understand what we mean when we say things like faith and sin. That's why I was so tickled to hear Steve take the time to stop and say, what is faith and what is sin? Because we use these Christianese words, and if we don't stop and think. So, why we work. And I want to look at Noah. Maybe I'll go ahead to this slide. Noah believed, and our first topic of the 5 days of Kids Club, our first title is Believe. I'm going to take a moment and read the passage about Noah from Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read part of it at least. Maybe I'll start at 6 verse 5 of Genesis. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man that I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them in the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. My translation says we're not sure what gopher wood is. Some say acacia. Some of your translations say cypress. So how hard that wood is to tool, I'm not sure. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. Its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark. God's giving him fairly detailed instructions. And finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark on its side. Make it lower, second, and third decks. Behold, I will bring a flood, waters upon the earth, and destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that's on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark with your sons and wives, and your sons' wives with you, and every living thing of all flesh. You shall bring two of every sort into the ark and keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. More instructions about the animals. I'm going to fast forward a little bit to verse 22, the end of the chapter. Noah did this. He did all that the Lord commanded him. Now I'm going to flip over to Hebrews 11. You know the passage? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. For by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. For by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah. Here we go. Being warned by God concerning events yet seen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes through faith. Now, without faith, it is impossible to believe God. So, why we work, I start by saying we believe. Now, this is the conundrum. Noah believed God, and it says he became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. The salvation of Noah was because of the righteousness that comes by faith. And I think of Noah because it's such a graphic example of the great Christian tension between faith and works. Because on the face of it, anybody that saved himself, if we can think of anybody who saved themselves through work, it was Noah, right? I mean, he built a boat, it flooded, the boat floated, he was saved, and his family. Think of what it took to build a boat. No power tools, no chainsaws. Trees had to be felled. The boat was 450 feet long. From this wall to that far wall at the other side of the fellowship area where the whiteboard is, the entire length of this building is 75 feet. The ark was six times that long. If you took the quinsum, which is 160 feet, No, the Quinsam is, I forget, but it's 160 feet longer than the Quinsam. In other words, two of this building off the end of the Quinsam and another 10 feet. The width of the ark is the width of this, from this wall to the far wall. That's the width. Big boat constructed by hand. Is that work? Probably took hundreds of years by hand. And it floated because he put the caulking in right so it wouldn't leak. And yet, if it could be said of anybody, his hard work saved him, it was Noah. And yet our passage says he received the righteousness that comes through faith. Expectant belief pleases God in what? Remember, we reframed faith a bit last week with Steve. That leaning in belief. Leaning in belief in what? In the excellence of God. That the experience of his fellowship, of his character, it's been testified to here this morning, will be worth whatever trial, whatever cost, whatever service. It's about experiencing him. So who's the beneficiary? We are. And Noah believed. It was by faith that he built this huge boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, yes, and he received the righteousness that his obedience came from his faith. And I posit to you that at its core, faith is this expectant belief in what? Not in stuff, but in the excellence of God himself. All have sinned. Whatever doesn't come from faith, Steve quoted last week from Romans 14, is sin. Whatever doesn't spring from an expectant belief in the excellent nature of God is sin. All have sinned, Romans 3:23 says, and fallen short, aimed at something different, or at least hit something different than the enjoyment and the demonstration of the excellence of God. Something was worth more than being with God. So if your service, if your work comes from a belief that God is worth it, if it bubbles forth from you, if you go to that place, because Jesus is walking in that place, whatever that place is, if following Jesus takes you to some place that is in itself difficult and unpleasant, faith says, Jesus is there. God is about doing that thing. And he is worth so much more than any difficulty or unpleasant. See what I mean? It's a belief that causes something. It's a belief that causes us to lean in close to him, even if close to him takes us somewhere and he's about business that makes us uncomfortable. It's really important to consider why we work and what we believe in, because it's a subtle shift to believing in ourselves, to believing we're earning favor with God. And, you know, that can creep in. I believe that's what happened when horrible things were done in the name, by people at least, who name the name of Jesus, is when they lost sight of why they're doing what they're doing, and when something other than the excellence and the enjoyment, and that can happen here. By degrees, it does happen here. We're all imperfect. And we're doing Kids Club. We've always done Kids Club. We got to do Kids Club. The community's expecting Kids Club. Do we expect God to be here? Do we expect to meet him in our tiredness, in our distractedness, in whatever we're giving up to be involved at whatever level you're involved with? Do we want to meet God? Or is it, we've always done this, somebody's watching and expects me to do this? These things creep in, and when they creep in all the way, we fall short of the excellence and enjoyment and demonstration of God's perfect character. And what's that called? All have sin. It's sin. It can be a fine line between sin, whatever doesn't come from faith, Romans 14 says, is sin. And in the context fits, right? Because context in Romans 14 is, I don't eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols. I do eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols. My conscience, in other words, it's where am I at with some do's and don'ts? Where you're at with the do's and don'ts, if you're doing it because it brings you close to fellowship with the excellent one, God wants that for you, right? If it's coming from somewhere else, you're actually sinning. So we want to be on the right side of that fine line as we work together, because we work because we believe that God is worth it. I've already done two slides. And I think that's like super, super important. And as hard working as Noah was for hundreds of years, you can't outdo building a boat six times as long as this church without power tools for a period, in the face of no doubt mocking and challenge. And you know, I love my little tractor that's parked out there, how it can move things around. And when I think of building a boat and getting trees and milling them, I think of, I couldn't do that without my tractor. Are you kidding? I don't lift anything anymore. I hop in there and turn the key. So when I think of what Noah did, it's astounding to me. And yet, it was his delight. Remember, Noah walked with God. This stuff was simply the outworking of God saying, do this, this is what I'm up to, and him saying yes, because there was no other direction for him to walk but towards where God was, what God was accomplishing, what God was doing, the salvation God was offering. There was nowhere else to be but with God, because he delighted in God. So when I say we work because we believe, think delight. We believe he's worth it. And we can't, I mean, this, Chris, this is really basic. It's really basic. It's important. And whatever we do is great. I spent part of last weekend with a gentleman who's going to be 100 on August the 28th. And we were staying at a friend's place. And as you get older and a bit more restricted in your movements and stuff, you find people articulate, they talk a lot about what they've done through the years, right? In fact, those are the memories that are the crispest and clearest for them, is all that stuff that was done in the past. And sometimes people are reveling in what they've done and you don't hear much of the Lord. But this dear old saint, the Lord was there. As he talked about what he'd been involved with, the establishment of a Christian camp and various things through the years, and the things he made with his hands, he talked, woven through there was the goodness and the glory of God. That's the difference. Do we, as we, we've been doing Kids Club, look at all those t-shirts, for years now. Were we experiencing God, or were we demonstrating our glory? There's a key difference. And you know where I found that key difference is when I went to brush my teeth an hour or two after Jerry had gone to bed. And the old bathroom was right beside his bedroom door. And as I was finishing up brushing my teeth, I heard this sound. I thought, that's interesting. What's that? And as I came out the hallway, I stopped by his door, and I heard, I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. And he sang, I stayed for a couple of verses. I don't know if he was reading it from a book or from memory, but this 99-year-old gentleman, in the quiet of his own bedroom, was singing, I need thee every hour. That's the difference, folks. I've been working hard for longer than anybody in this room has been alive. I've got this. No, I need thee. We believe when we do what we do, when we work, because we need him, not because he needs us. key difference. That's what keeps us from going amok. Of course, we work because we care. It was by faith that Noah built a large ark to save his family from the flood. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes from faith. Now, what about that? God gets misrepresented by his critics, really, right? One of the famous ones, you know, the God of the Bible is the most unpleasant character in all of fiction. Well, I don't believe the Bible's fiction. I don't agree with that fellow, but that is a quote. And you read this Old Testament story and this flood. Is that horrific? Sounds horrific. Read it carefully. It's important to read these stories in the light of all that we know about the Bible. John and I were talking about his excitement of getting through the whole Bible for the first time and starting again. Because it's as we view God the way he's completely revealed himself, especially in Jesus, that these stories make more sense. And if you just jump into a story like, I'm going to flood the whole earth and kill all these things, it sounds horrific. But think about it. The text I read from Genesis says the earth was filled with violence and it grieved the heart of God. That's not a cruel sentiment. God's heart was grieved at violence and killing. So much so that he was going to press the reset button. But look at this passage. The outworking of Noah's belief was compassion. He certainly wanted to save his family from the flood. Look between the lines. By faith, Noah condemned the world. Now, you look at the Strong's dictionary for that word condemned. It qualified them for judgment. It put them up for judgment. How did Noah's faith, the actions that resulted from his expectant belief in the wonderful nature of God, how could that condemn the population? How could it? Just showed them up because he was good and they were bad? That doesn't quite capture it. Unless you think about that boat, 6 times the width of the length of this church, built over undoubtedly a long period of time. In fact, 75 feet wide, its width was the length of this church. This massive boat being built by hand over time, by his faith, they became eligible for judgment because of his work. So think about the mercy of God. Nobody was going to be judged unless beacon to salvation was put out to them. They deserved judgment before Noah laid a plank or fell a tree. But God withheld judgment until after this massive, in fact, all they had to do was to go, okay. They could have popped along with their tape measure, started building. There's going to be a flood. There was a clarion call to salvation. That is why, by faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, because they were only eligible for judgment after this demonstration and this great warning. Am I stretching things? I really see that. In other words, there was a gospel, if you will, played out before those people, before any judgment happened. That's compassion, folks. The world was violent all the time. Death, killing, horrific things were happening by the hand of rebellious men. God said, I'm going to press the reset button. God is saying, there's a way of escape. Yes, it was ignored. God knew that beforehand. That's the great mystery of providence and election we could be here for days talking about. But the fact of it is, those people were condemned on the other side of a massive demonstration of salvation. So we work because we care about the saving of our family, our dear ones. We work because Jesus has given a plan of salvation. On our first day of belief, we're talking about plans and how every good work starts with a plan. And God offered Noah a plan. God said, build it this big, this high, this wide. Noah believed and did everything God said, and it offered a plan of salvation. And we know that in Jesus Christ, a rebellious human race that breeds violence all the time, that brings death all the time, is offered a way of escape in Christ. That all the violence that sin perpetrates was perpetrated on Jesus, so that we could escape the wages of sin, which is death, and come into communion with God. So we work because we care. We care about our family. We care about our neighbors. We want to erect a beacon to salvation. So cardboard cutouts and signs and costumes and everything we might do, and snacks even, everything that and your prayers in the prayer tent, everything that contributes to this is a beacon to the goodness and righteousness and loving salvation of God. And as we experience God is good, then we show God is good, and this is a beacon. We work because we care. Well, lastly, and this is basically the first point restated, we work because we desire. This is the account of Noah and his family. Genesis 6 said Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time. He walked in close fellowship with God. I think this is New Living Translation. He walked with God. I suggest to you, if he hadn't experienced close fellowship with God, he never could have pulled off that effort. At least his effort would have ended up being sin. The difference between a house full of saved people rejoicing in the goodness of God and a residential school is an experience of God's excellence and a desire for him. Remember, faith is the expectant belief in the worth of God. Right? So we work because we believe. We believe in what? We believe God is worth it. We believe God is great. We believe we want to be nowhere else but where he is working, because where he is working, there he is. And yes, he's everywhere, but he's breaking out where he's working. And so that's why we want to be there. Later in Hebrews 11, it talks about Moses. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured because of an experience, a taste of the goodness of God. It gets personal. So we see Moses on the mountain in Exodus 33. Yes, he pleads for God's presence and protection with his people. Yes, he pleads for God's mercy on a rebellious people deserving of God's thumb. But as he drills down, he says, show me your glory. What's that got to do with providing feed and water and safety for people? Nothing directly. It has everything to do with Moses' desire to be. It comes down to a selfish request. And so my suggestion is, you pray for Kids Club, let's pray some selfish prayers. Think of David in Psalm 27. One thing I ask of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. It's a very personal request, isn't it? One thing I ask of the Lord. So despite all his foul-ups, David is said to be a man after God's own heart. He gets away with a lot. We're all broken. We all fail. But at the heart of it, why was he able to be a man after God's own heart? Because he desired what is excellent. Guess what? God revels in the beauty and perfection of his own character. If I urge you into pursuit of my excellence, it's creepy, because I'm not God. If God offers you anything other than himself, He's not being love to the core. And God is love. We believe that, right? If he's love to the core, what he's got to offer you is himself. If he offers you something else, if he offers you riches, he might offer you riches as a means of showing himself, that's fine. But if he offers you riches instead of himself, if he offers you something instead, he's failing to be loving. Right? And if he revels in something other than his worth, he's failing to be holy. He becomes an unholy sinner. Poof. He's not God anymore. Right? So it would, what would be, we tend to, and what's that word, anthropomorphize. We tend to project human values onto God. The reason human values don't work on God is because we're not God. So for him to be self-aggrandizing is to be loving, because he's showing the world, he's showing you, he's showing me his excellence. So we work because we want to experience his excellence. So we pray selfish prayers. We say, Lord, will you show up at Kids Club because we want to see you? Will you meet us in our tiredness? Will you meet us? Will you show because we want to be where you are? Will you be here because we want to be where you are? Not to make our work look great. We're humans. We're gonna miss this mark sometimes. I miss this mark in my tiredness over the past week. It was beautiful in a way. We were there. I knew I'd kind of ended up slotting myself in to speak this week. And, you know, there's so many loose ends to do with Kids Club. And went down to John's and we were doing a bit of work for the crafts. And we went in for tea. We went in for a quick cup of tea to get back to work. Well, a quick cup of tea was probably a little bit less than quick. Because my brother and I were rejoicing about the goodness of God. And he was telling me about the wonder of God's word. And he was saying how he even, I didn't ask his permission to say this, but how he even asked God, you know, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Cutting these boats up for Kids Club? It's a good question. Because guess what? I want to be where you are. As we rejoiced in fellowship, we rejoiced in the Lord. And I'm thinking, in the back of my mind, it goes through, he goes, I've actually got a sermon to prepare, and here I am just fellowshipping around the goodness of God? Well, yeah, that's the best thing I could be doing. It's the very best thing I could be doing, is rejoicing around the goodness of God. Because if I bring you less than the goodness of God, if I bring you less than my experience of the goodness of God, I'm sinning, because I'm falling short of the glory of God. I'm failing you, and I'm failing to love you properly. Because the best thing I can give you isn't me. The best thing I can give you is point to the greatness and goodness of God. So we work because we believe. We work because we have this expectant belief, this belief that causes us to lean in or sit down or jump off, right? This expectant belief that he's worth it, that he's good, that he's glorious, that you're there, I'm coming, right? We work because we care. It's all one, really. We work because we share, as we share his heart and experience his heart, we find his heart is a loving heart that offers salvation, that does not condemn anyone without this beacon. This, you know, you read the Minor Prophets and you say, oh, that's horrible, violent, invective. It's actually a scream. Guys, stop sinning and come to me. It's love. And if it wasn't brutal, it wouldn't be addressing humans, because they were addressing a brutal society. The violence of man, we read, grieved the heart of God, and he prepared a way of escape. So we work because we care, and we want to present that way of escape. We work because we have hearts that desire God. If we work for less, like I say, the road parts here, folks. It's a glorious, eternal thing, or it's wood, hay, and stubble. It's a glorious monument to the goodness of God, or it's a residential school. Folks, this is where the road forks. Pray selfish prayers that we will have hearts full of the goodness of God that experience it in a real way.